Let's just pray before we get into the message this morning. God, we thank you for your word and how that we can enter into it each week on Sundays as a group and dig into the text and learn more about who you are, more about who we are in light of you, and that it can change our lives. So I pray this morning the Holy Spirit would help us to have our ears open, our hearts softened, and ready to be changed. So as we leave this place, others might come to know you and see the glory that comes out of this place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the theme for camp this year is about finding clues, and the passage that they're actually based on is in this sermon. But this morning I want to talk a little bit different than what is going on at camp, but it's about not missing the clues. So I don't know, how many of you have been to an escape room before? I know some of the youth have. We went there a couple weeks ago. They actually sound like a weird thing. You get put into a room and you're trying to get out of it by following clues. And people pay money to do this. I know it sounds a little bit insane, but it is really cool and fun if you are into that thing. And it's very popular right now. It's all over North America. You can go to like almost any place and find an escape room. But the problem with an escape room is the clues aren't always obvious. We were there a couple weeks ago, and the very first clue in one of the rooms, about six of us did it, and the sixth person finally got it right. But we were just missing aspects of what the clue was all about. We all saw the same clue. I tried it two or three times and kept doing the same thing over and over and over again, and it wasn't working. And you would assume that if I was smart, I wouldn't do it over and over again. But someone else just came up and saw what the clue was. And in this passage we're going to read this morning, the Israelites have missed what God is telling them. He's missing the word or the clues God's giving to them. And the relationship with them or with God has suffered. So this morning, as we think about the Bible as maybe clues or things that God's trying to tell us, I think the important message we need to learn from this morning is how we can't miss them, or shouldn't miss them, and some ways for not doing that. So in that passage, we really have three main things. I will jump around the book a little bit because the book really sets up this passage. But the three things are, and you can write them down, they'll come up on the screen later, but is know God, hear his word, and trust his plan. Three very simple things, but we'll get into some other subpoints later too. So know God. The first part of this passage we read, God is telling them that they are listening to some false prophets. So it says, don't let the prophets who are among you, who are diviners, deceive you, and don't listen to their dreams. And he says not to listen to them because he has said something else. But how did they get to this point where they're listening to these prophets? Well, first I think we should talk about what their message is. We have Jeremiah has been told to go tell these people, all of Israel, that they're going to go to Babylon because they've disobeyed God. And then these false prophets come in and say, no, you're not. You're not going to go there. And Jeremiah keeps telling them this. And right before this passage, they actually take Jeremiah out, put this like ox, one of those things you put the ox on so he pulls the plow behind him. And they say that this burden that Jeremiah is putting on you is not true. God's going to break that burden in 2 years. You're going to go to Babylon for just 2 years. And in the passage we see it's 70 years, so it's much different. And the reason why they're telling them this, we find out very further back in chapter 5, is that they just want authority. The false prophets want the people to lead them. So how do you lead people who don't really care about God and don't want to go to Babylon? You tell them what they want to hear, right? So the false prophets are just telling the people what they want to hear. But still, why are the people at this point where they don't really love God? We can see in this passage even that God tells them to seek them with all of your heart, and you'll find me. Further back, we talk about in chapter 5, it talks about how the people's hearts have become stubborn and rebellious towards God. But why have they gotten to this point? Why are they at the point where they are stubborn and rebellious? And the truth is that they don't really know God. Now, there's a difference between knowing facts about God and having a relationship with God. Because these people, they knew about God. They had all these promises that God had told them, and they remembered those promises. They had lots of laws that they were supposed to keep, and for the most part, they kept those laws. They knew God was the creator. They knew God had saved them from Egypt. They knew that what some of the other laws had told them. They knew that there was this promise of a Messiah coming someday, but they just knew these things. They hadn't really changed their life. They've gotten to the point, actually, where that they knew about God, but they were willing to worship other gods a lot at the same time. Their relationship with God had been pretty much completely cut off. So they knew him, but they didn't love him. It says further on in Jeremiah, and even in this passage, how that they were giving up their children as sacrifices to other gods. So these people, they knew all this stuff about God. He was the creator, that the Messiah was going to come. But it didn't change them. They were willing to worship other gods and give up their children as sacrifices. So they got to this point not because they didn't know facts about God, but because of the relationship with God had gotten hard, and their hearts had gotten hard, and their relationship had died. And if we go further back into the Old Testament, we find out it's just because of their parents. Their parents hadn't really been living this life either, too. So the first thing we need to understand is we don't know God. It's easy for us to be deceived. Because these people, they're just listening to whatever people were telling them. So a lot of times we think, especially in our own lives, if we know the facts about how to debate apologetics and stuff, that we'll be fine, right? Well, if someone comes to us with a different view, if we know, you know, that God's the creator, if we know that Genesis is 7-day creation, that when someone comes to us about that, if we just know the facts, then we'll be fine. And it's true, knowing the facts is important. But if those facts are just facts to our head, they're not going to do us any good. It's really easy for someone to convince us that that's not true, because who was actually at the beginning of time? No one. So there's no real evidence scientifically for that. So if you're just going off of science, someone can flip your mind pretty quickly with that. And there's lots of good arguments for why other gods are pretty awesome too, if we are just doing off the basis of our facts. But if it's a relationship, it's a little bit different. So think about it this way. You can love your wife by having an anniversary and keeping it, but if you just know the date of the anniversary, is it necessarily that you love your wife, or you just have a good memory or a very good app on your phone for reminding you? You could know your kids, how old they are, and that could be a sign that you love them because you're paying attention to their birthday, or it could just be that you've been filling out a lot of forms lately for them and you have to put their birth date down so you know how old they are. And for kids, you might know when the dates of your parents' birthdays or when Mother's and Father's Day is. And that could be a sign you love your parents, or it just be because that the opposite parent has been bugging you, so you remember too. So a lot of facts that we have in our other relationships can be a sign that we love them, or it could just be a sign that we have the fact in our head and we remember it. But if we really do love those people, when someone says something false against them, what's the first thing that we would usually do? Someone would say that someone, a good friend or a family member, had committed a horrible crime to you. Just some stranger told you this. Our response would be, no, probably not. And we would go to that person and try to figure it out. So when people are telling us false things about God, if we have a strong relationship with them, our response is not going to be, I guess that might be true. It could be, well, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure. I know God really well. And we go dig deeply in those clues to find more about God. And then come back even more resolved in our relationship with him. So people in this time and period, the Israelites, had lost their relationship and were so easily deceived. And today we can do that too. And if we think about what they were deceived about, it doesn't seem like a huge deal, right? They're just being told, oh, you're going to be gone for 2 years instead of 70. But really what was happening is it was pigging their hearts further away from God, so they were just okay with the comfort of lives around them, and that what they were doing was okay. And who knows what could have taken place. And some of them who did believe it says that they perished, that they didn't have a relationship with God at all back in chapter 27 because they believed those false prophets. And today we can kind of get caught up in that too. We think, right, we have the gospel down pat and that's good, but there's other things that can sometimes deceive us that pull us away from God. You know, sometimes people on TV tell us if we have lots of money, or you read books that you have lots of money, then God is blessing you. So obviously you're fine with that. But that's not true. We could have money or not money, and God still loves us. Either way. It's really easy for us to think that coming to church on Sunday is just a sign that our relationship with God is going good. It can be, but it could just be we've been doing it all of our lives, or our friends are here, or there's nothing better to do Sunday morning. Or it's just, that's what we do on Sunday, so we come. But it really should be all of our things is that it's a relationship, that we love God, we know him, and want to be growing in our relationship with him. So we want to know him, but not just the facts about him, but to know him in relationship. And the next thing is hear hear his word. Now you might think, well, isn't that the same thing as your first point? Yes and no. As we go through this whole book of Jeremiah, and even as I read this morning, you hear God says the same phrase all the way through. This is the Lord's declaration, or he says, here is the word of the Lord. So all through the book, it's way over 100 times. I stopped counting after 100. So God keeps saying this to the people. And it's because the people had stopped listening to him. They'd let their hearts get stubborn in that relationship with him, and they were just completely stopped listening to him. And by listening, I mean that they were hearing it and disobeying him. So God was telling them, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be there for 70 years. And they're like, no, we're going to be there for 2. Or, you need to worship me and seek me with all of your heart. Well, we're going to seek other gods at the same time as we're going to seek you. Or, these other prophets are false prophets. Jeremiah's a real one. And they're like, well, Jeremiah's okay, but these false prophets, what they're saying sounds good, so we're going to listen to them too. So most of the time, they were hearing things but disobeying them. And that can be true of us too. And I think there's two different areas and where we can hear God's word and disobey him too. Sometimes it's a heart issue. It's always a heart issue. Sometimes it's completely rebellious where we're just saying what they're doing here, where we're not going to obey you at all. But sometimes we hear it and then we convince ourselves that we're actually doing what's right. So sometimes we read a part of the Bible and it's telling us to do something that we don't like, and the excuse is, well, that was for them back in those days. It's not for us today. Or, oh, there's some other hidden meaning in here that I need to find. And then when I find it, then we'll know what this passage means. Or we hear someone really smart say something and we feel convicted that we should do it, and we're not sure if it's what we should do, so we go and find some other book or a preacher on the internet who says the opposite and uses some hermeneutic gymnastics or grammatical things to say something else, and we're convinced that it's okay. So one is a complete rebellious heart, which sometimes we have, and some is just we're growing in that relationship, but we're not all able to give God all the control we want. And it could be for different reasons. It could be because we want control in our families. We want control over our lives, our jobs, our church. And it's not necessarily like a bad control, but just we want things to go well. So we want to control those things so we don't listen. Or it could just be that we're afraid and we don't want to step up. If we go back, Jeremiah had this kind of heart. Jeremiah in chapter 1 was called by God to be the prophet, and his response was, I can't speak. It's kind of like Moses. I can't speak, so don't send me. But the remedy, we've already kind of talked about the rebellious heart, is we need to actually be growing in a relationship with God. But the remedy to the Jeremiah's heart is God reminded him of this, and then he jumped right in. Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and told me, I have now filled your mouth with my words. Probably like 90% of the time, maybe more than that, when we think of obedience, we think that we can do it ourselves. We just need to have a regular schedule in our lives, then we can get up early in the morning, and we can do our devotions at the right time, or we can witness to people if we just have our schedule matched up and we're meeting with people on Fridays and then on Saturdays, or we just think that it's all about what our control. But what God reminds Jeremiah here is, yeah, you can't speak. You're right. You're a horrible speaker. You're going to do a bad job probably if it was just up to you. But guess what? I'm giving you the ability to speak. So when it comes to obedience, it's the same for us. I know for me, I can't do it on my own. I'll always sin every day. I'll fail and fail again. Even when it comes to preaching or teaching people, I'll fail and fail again if it's only in my own strength. But it's cool that I've trusted in God for my sins, and he saved me from that, so I have a relationship with him. And going forward, we still have that same trust in not disobeying him and hearing his words. Because some of the things God calls us to do are literally impossible. Dying for our faith, most of us will probably never have to do that. But all those who have done that is not because that they were amazing Christians who just had a lot of knowledge in their head, but it's because the Holy Spirit lived in them and gave them the strength to do that. Witnessing to people, I don't think that's ever really comfortable to do. I can think of maybe one or two times where it has been comfortable, but I'm not even sure if it was comfortable because it was comfortable or because the Holy Spirit made it comfortable. But that is something that's really hard to do in our culture. But if God is calling us to do that, it's a command for us to do. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to do. And God calls us to be perfect. We can't be perfect. It's impossible. One day we will be because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us too. So we need to know God in relationship. We need to obey him. We can't do that by ourselves. But we ultimately too need to trust his plan. Now we're going to talk about a verse that's a coffee cup verse that we have a lot. And I might change what you think of it this morning. So I apologize, but it's the right thing. So there you go. For this is what the Lord says in verse 10. When the 70 years for Babylon are complete, I will tend to you, and I'll confirm my promise concerning you to restore you to this place. For I know the plans I have for you. This is what the Lord declares. Plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You will call to me and come and pray to me. I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me. I'll be found. And he continues on to say where he will restore them after from all the places they've been banished. So God's saying, you guys need to trust in my plan. Your plan was you're going to go to Babylon for 2 years and that's it and come back and live in hunky-dory lives back here in the promised land. That plan's not going to happen. So a lot of times we read that verse and we think, that is the plan. The good things are going to happen to us. God has a plan that things are going to happen in the next few months, next few years, and they're all going to be good. And they might be. But what God's saying here is this is not the plan for the next 2 years. He's not even saying this is the plan for the next 70 years. He's reminding them, guys, I've made you promises, and they're going to come to fulfillment, and it's not going to be in 70 years. It's going to be in a long time. But I've made those promises. And you know what? I promise that King David, someone in his line is going to rule on the throne, and that would be Jesus. And that's going to be an amazing place for you to be, not in 70 years, but when I do it. I promise that you're going to have the land. You're not going to have it right now, but you're going to have it someday, and it's going to be better than any way you can imagine. And someday a Messiah is going to come. He's not going to come in 70 years, but he's going to come and he's going to defeat sin, death, and Satan, and then give you a perfect relationship with me. So all these rules and stuff that we have, you won't need them anymore. Sacrifices, they're going to be gone too. You're going to be able just to talk to me and pray with me. So that's what was their promise to them. So what does that have to do with us though? We have a promise too that if we trust in Jesus, we have a relationship with him. But that doesn't just stop here on earth. So his plan for us isn't just so we pray to him, say a prayer, trust that Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we escape hell. He wants to start a relationship with us now and have that go into eternity. So a lot of the times we have short game plans. We have like, I'm going to go on family vacation here for this week, and then next year we're going to go this place, and I'm going to get this job, and my kids are going to go to this school. And as kids you think, you know, next year I'm going to move up in the next hockey division. I mean, work out hard and do those things. And even as Christians, we have game plans for how we can grow. But God's promise, his plan he has is for the future. It's an eternal promise, not a promise that's just about the here and now. So yes, someday we're going to have an awesome place to live with God. We're going to be in the face of Jesus. So a lot of times we look at this verse and we're looking for hope and joy right now in the circumstances that surround us. But the hope and joy that we get right now from this verse is the fact that someday we're going to be able to run into the arms of Jesus. And he's going to be there with a relationship that is way better than we even have now. So that should get us excited about our relationship here and now is trusting in his plan, hearing his word, and knowing him. So I'm going to invite the team to come forward, and we're going to sing a song at the end here. And I just want to, as we end, just to remember that we're all going through probably different circumstances in our lives or will go through hard ones in our life. But if we remember that all of life is not about just the circumstances here and now or the joy and things we get out of this life. But if we remember to have a relationship with him, to listen and obey him and trust in his eternal plan, then that hope and joy will carry us through lots of different circumstances, and we'll be able to embrace that in the future as well.